Andre Anucifuoro, how's the campaign going?
Things are going very well. As you probably know, this new district has 86 cities and towns in it, and it extends from the New York border all the way to a little sliver of Worcester County. So we are out. We're meeting a lot of voters. It's been going very, very well. The response has been tremendous.
I heard from Richie Neal, who was on the show, that he had done a poll and that the polls showed him very comfortably in the lead. Do you have any problems with that?
Well, you know, our data shows different. You know, this is a very, very close race.
Now, when you said data, what do you mean by data?
Well, you know, every responsible candidate will do some analysis, and we've done some. Apparently the congressman has as well. And I can tell you that this is a very close primary. You know, I think what has happened here is folks have really started to take a look carefully at who these candidates are. I mean, mm-hmm. Congressman Neal, as you know, is running in a new district as I am, and he is, you know, the most conservative member of the Massachusetts delegation running in one of the most progressive districts in the country.
Now, John Oliver, who most people consider to be the most progressive guy in the Congress, said there's not a whit of difference between him and Neal. How can you say he's one of the most conservative?
Well, you know, let's take a look at some of those issues. On everything from campaign finance to Wall Street, Congressman Neal has been supporting a very conservative position. You know, look, take a look at what happened in the years leading up to the financial collapse back in 2008. As you probably know, Alan, you've been on the show a long time, there were five major pieces of legislation that came through Congress that effectively deregulated the financial markets. Congressman Neal is one of just a small group of members of either party that voted for all five. So what you have in Congressman Neal is a person that has been working very hard to advance a Wall Street agenda. That is not something that is typically associated with progressive Democratic politics. So I think, you know, if you look at any set of progressive issues, whether it's on civil rights, whether it's on a woman's right to choose, whether it's on Wall Street, what you'll find is that Congressman Neal has really been out of step with the progressive voters of this district, and I suspect on September 6th, that'll be reflected at the polls.
Now, he has a huge number of base voters who voted for him for years in Springfield, Massachusetts, and now he's picked up the Berkshires, but the majority still are in the old district. So how do you deal with that?
Well, actually, the math is somewhat different than that.
Okay.
As you probably know, this district is largely John Oliver territory. Congressman Oliver, for many years, has represented Holyoke, West Springfield, Westfield, East Hampton, all of the Berkshires, the Hilltown communities. So, you know, if you start looking at this race based on where the primary voters are, about 57% of them lie in territory that is currently represented by Congressman Oliver.
So and yet that's the same Congressman Oliver who has nothing good to say about you and a lot of good stuff to say about the Richie Neal.
Oh, I think that there's no question that, you know, I think that when two congressmen worked together for more than 20 years as they did, you know, we had no illusions about the way that was going to go. But, you know, suffice it to say that voters themselves are going to have to make a decision in the Democratic primary in September. And I think once they start to look at my progressive record, which I developed, Alan, as you know,
sure,
over 10 years in the state Senate, and they look at Congressman Neal's record, which in many cases looks like a Republican record, once primary voters start to look at those records, I think they'll make the right choice.
Why did you leave the state Senate?
I've never believed in perpetual or lifetime service in any particular position. I represented the Berkshires, and I think I did so well, for 10 years. And after you represent for 10 years, I thought it was time for me to step aside and let someone else take the ball. And that's what I did. I happen to think, actually, that serving for 10 years is a reasonable amount of time. I think that serving for 30, some folks, you know, are able to do that very well for 30 years. Others, I think, start to run out of ideas. They lack a fresh perspective. In my case, I thought that serving for 10 years was appropriate. I served with a lot of pleasure, and I think with some effectiveness, the entire Berkshire region, which was 48 cities and towns at the time, and I thought that was enough.
Andrea, you have been a registrar of deeds in the middle part of Berkshire County. Why did you do that job?
That's been, you know, that is a position that many people don't understand. It's one of the most important elected positions in Massachusetts. As you probably know, you know, I don't know that they have these in New York, Alan, but here in Massachusetts we have various elected positions around the Commonwealth that are responsible for preserving and maintaining for the public all records pertaining to real property, the deed to your house, your mortgage, license, an easement, a death certificate, all of the documents pertaining to real property, including, by the way, all of these foreclosure documents that we see coming through the door in the last couple of years. It's a position that I think is very important. It's one that has allowed me to continue serving the public. I've been able to stay closer to home, and I think that a lot of the lessons that I've learned at the registry will serve me well in Washington.
Are you allowed to practice law at the same time?
I am, sure. As you know, I've my education has served me well, both in private life and in public life. I went to UMass undergraduate. I went to Boston University for law school. I have an MBA in finance from NYU, and I spent 10 years in the state Senate. So, yeah, it's been a very interesting career.
Tell us a little about yourself, because a lot of people don't know you yet, and it'd be appropriate for them to know about you personally. Are you married? Do you have children? What's the deal?
I am married. I am married to a woman that came to this country from Russia. Alan, I think that you've met Elena.
I have.
Yeah, she
lovely.
Yeah, thank you very much. She was born and raised in eastern Siberia and came to the U.S. on a Muskie Fellowship back in the year 2000. And we actually met when I was traveling in Russia back in 2007. And it turns out that when we met in Russia, she had been living and working and teaching at UMass in Amherst. So we've been married for a couple of years. We have an 18-month-old son named Eric Andreevich Nusiforo, who has been a real bundle of joy. I was born and raised here in the city of Pittsfield. I have two brothers, two sisters. I have a very large family. You've met a number of them, I know.
Indeed.
Alan. I have 45 first cousins.
Whoa!
Yes. Yeah. My mom was the 11th in a family of 13 Polish children. And my dad was the last in a family of 7 in a Sicilian family here in Pittsfield.
So do the math.
Yeah, right. So do the math. So, you know, I've had the benefits and the blessings of a big family here. You know, after graduating from the public schools, I went out to UMass. I went to Boston University for law school. And in fact, I spent a number of years, you may recall this, I spent a number of years working as a law clerk to a federal judge by the name of Frank Friedman. I worked in the city of Springfield for that 3-year period before going down to Boston and beginning a law practice there. And back in 1996, you might remember that Jane Swift chose not to seek re-election that
year. She had been the acting governor. She had been lieutenant governor and moved up when who left?
It was Solucci.
Solucci, yeah,
right.
I liked it.
Right. So you might remember that Jane was the state senator here.
Indeed.
And when she served in the state senate, she
chose... And a Republican.
That's right. That's right. She chose not to seek re-election back in 1996, so that created an open seat. I ran. I was one of 4 Democrats, I believe, that year.
And you could win just because the first cousins voted for you.
It's a great political organization. We won the Democratic primary that year, went on to defeat a Republican and a third-party candidate in 1996, and then I ended up representing the Berkshire District for 10 years down in Boston.
Well, I think it should be said that your father was a sainted figure in Berkshire County, and a lot of people knew the name, same name.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, my, Alan, I do believe that whatever, you know, few things I've been able to achieve, both in public life and personally, I've done so because of my father and my mother. They loved me a lot. They treated me very well, and I know they built a wonderful reputation in this community, and it's something that all of us benefit from now.
Andrea Nusiforo, we will be back with a second installment of the Congressional Corner talking to you very soon, so thank you so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.